Lift up your hands and just say, thank you, Jesus. Can you say, thank you, Jesus? We appreciate you, Jesus. We honor you, Jesus. We magnify you, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. Awesome God, we have come to say thank you. We bless you from the bottom of our hearts. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you have been doing. Thank you for all that you do for us. We are grateful, Lord Jesus. We are grateful, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Hallelujah. Are you excited to be in church tonight? Look at your neighbor left and right, and you need to tell that person, God has just started with you. By the time he's done, you'll be a wonder. Hallelujah. In fact, you're actually a wonder where you are right now. That's the truth. That's the truth. Glory to Jesus. Can you sit up in heavenly places? Let's share a little bit. Then we get into our worship for tonight. Today is dedicated to what? Worship. Yes. And by the time we're done lifting up our hearts, you know, worshiping God and praising him, the Bible makes us understand that the earth will then yield her increase. I'm going to speak a little bit on that this evening. Amen. Glory to Jesus. I'm excited tonight, because I know that a lot of burdens will be lifted. And I'm also sure that a lot of people will get light. The Bible says that in his light, we see what? We see light. Glory to Jesus. So you're getting light tonight. In the name of Jesus. So I started speaking with us about what? What? Hindrances to open heavens. Why people don't experience open heavens. And some of the things that can constitute hindrance to open heavens. Are we here together? And number one, I mentioned what? Prayerlessness. Told you already, Jesus told his people, he said, men always ought to pray and not to do what? Faint. The Bible says, Jesus praying, as he was praying, being baptized, the heavens over him opened. Different times, Jesus Christ would pray and he would hear the voice of the Father speaking to him, giving instructions. And I told you that in the place of prayer, you get instructions, you get directions, you get light. God reveals himself to you and he tells you what to do. Are we here together? So prayer is very, very important. It's not something that we can overflog in church, because it is the life of the Christian faith. Amen. Yes. So that's very, very important. Number two is what? Habitual secret sins. God does not want us to live in habitual sin. In other words, you have made a habit. The Bible says, he that cherish iniquity in his heart, the Lord will not hear him. So when something is wrong, you say it is what? Wrong. And because I love Jesus, I'm not going to tread that path. Are we here together? Because I fear him, I will not tread that path. Because if you do, then you're asking God to prosper something that is wrong, and he will not do that. Are we here together? God will not prosper something that is wrong. He would rather correct it. He will fix it. And Paul speaking says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He said, God forbid. How can those of us who have been dead to Christ, you understand, and have this new life continue daring? Know ye not that so many of you as were crucified, as were baptized into Christ, were baptized with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, so also we have been raised to live in newness of what? Life. Amen. So when you see a person continuing in habitual sins, secret sins like that, you, over a period of time, you see a stench on them. You see that the heavens over their life will not be open. God will not be able to give them certain graces, because if he does, then they will continue believing that God enjoys what they are doing. So he will have to do what? Chastise them, discipline them, show them that this is not the right thing to do. And it's a good thing because we are God's children. He chastises us. Are we here together? Yes. But when a person's heart is seared with hot iron, that's another problem entirely. That person will need some serious discipleship to get their hearts back to Jesus. Amen. Number three is what? Number three is what? Oh, very good. We said pride goes before what? Destruction. Pride goes before destruction. And a lot of people are very, very proud, and some of them are not aware. You know, everything that makes you exalt yourself and overestimate yourself so that somebody else feels inferior is what? Pride. I told you that inferiority, you see, there's something I was talking about the other day, is also a sign of pride. I don't know if I can pick that this evening. Holy Spirit, help me. Holy Spirit, help me. You know, there's a way you see some people, they try to cover up sometimes, and maybe they feel, instead of confessing that they cannot do a particular thing, they try to do everything to make it look like they can, by all means, wanting to please people by all means. It's pride. You don't have to. You don't have to please anybody. You just need to do the will of God. Are you getting what I'm saying now? You need to do the will of God. You need to serve God from the bottom of your heart. What you don't know, you learn. A lot of people don't know how to learn from people. So when they're supposed to be learning from someone, they're feeling big. They're feeling high. Like, I don't need to learn anything. What was it the person knows that I don't know? And some other people will go the extra mile saying things like, how old is the person? It's not by age. You must understand. Some people have achieved certain things. And they have come into certain realities that you are a toddler when it gets to comparing yourself with them. So what are you supposed to do? You learn. So instead of comparing yourself, you go learn. The Bible says they comparing themselves with themselves became what? Fools. And it shuts the heavens over people. You know why? When a person begins to raise their heart in pride, the Bible says God resists the proud. In other words, who's going to resist a proud person? Who's resisting a proud person? God. He resists the proud. So what will he do to the humble? He gives more grace. And you know, more grace is an expression of open heavens. Are we here together? Yes. So when God begins to release more grace upon your life and people are wondering, it's because you are humble. And listen, the higher you go, the more humble you need to become. Because at the top, it's easy to feel like you have achieved and arrived by yourself. One of the reasons many people never experience true spiritual revival and remain ignited is because they get satisfied too early. They feel they have arrived. May you never arrive until Jesus has arrived. Yeah. I don't want to arrive. There's no arrival. The only person that must arrive is Jesus. When he arrives, we will all arrive with him. Are we here together? Don't ever think I have arrived, I've achieved all the things, what else is there? And begin to brag about it. It will not make sense. I showed you Nebuchadnezzar, showed you many other people. Amen. What's the next one we talked about? What? Stinginess. When people don't give, they cannot go find life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You can't go find life financially if you're not a giver. The Bible makes it very clear. It said, he that sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and he that sows bountifully will reap bountifully. In context, it might look like, oh, that's not exactly, but you need to understand what we call general application in scripture. Seed time and harvest never ceases. So it applies to the same thing. If you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. And there is a grace that God spoke about the church of Macedonia, that in their deepest poverty, that the grace of God abounded. So sometimes when you see people who are stingy, they've not connected with the grace to give. They need to learn and say, Holy Spirit, help me. I want to be able to come into that umbrella where I have that grace. God is the God of all grace. Some people don't struggle to give. Some people fight it with all their lives. But you can talk to God and say, God, I don't want to be like this. Why? Giving can be something you do as a Christian. Then giving in the Bible is also a ministry. Have you not seen it in the Bible? Talk about ministry gifts. And he also said, whoever gives, whoever God has called you to give, give generously. So whenever giving is a ministry, I personally have told God, I don't want to give as a church member. I want giving as a ministry where I can give myself, give my time, give my energy, and also give my resources. Very important. Number five. Where are we? So what did I say about number five? Are you scared? Say. oh, pitch your stance against the servants of God or against the church of Jesus Christ can shut you out completely. You don't fight the church of Jesus. You don't pitch your tent against the servant of God. Three things you must do to a servant of God. Number one, believe the servant of God. Number two, receive the servant of God. Number three, honor the servant of God. When you honor God's servant in the name of the fact that he's a prophet, you receive a prophet's reward. Wherever you see people dishonoring men of God, social media, everywhere, please don't discuss it. The matter is too high for you. Did you hear what I just said? The matter is too high for you. If you don't understand, you don't know the underlying factor, you cannot explain what happened. If you are not the person anything happened to, keep quiet. And just begin to ask God, whatever it is you need to show, show it. You are superior. We are here. You know the best things. Reveal the secrets and let justice be done. Are we here together? It's better like that so that you don't fight wrongly. That's where we are. Okay, my voice, sorry. Number six. Let me say this, then I'll take you to the last one that will lead us into tonight's worship. Number six that can put a closed heaven over the destiny of a person is walking in bitterness, unforgiveness, malice. Generally, we can say not walking in love. Not walking in what? Love. Not walking in what? Love. The Bible says of these three, there abided three things. Faith, what? Hope and what? Of the three, the greatest is what? Love. Paul speaking, he said, let me show you a more excellent way. There is an excellent way to live your life. There is an excellent way that can make doors open unto you everywhere around the world. The angels in heaven will look at you and see a child of God. Knowing that God is love and you're expressing that love, they see you truly. At this one, they are the children of God. They are the sons of God. They are led by the Spirit. You cannot be led by the Spirit and not live in love. This bitterness and malice and all manner of unforgiveness, you know, quarreling and fighting cannot take you far. You can't go far with it. You must open up your heart as a child of God, as a Christian, and say, I want to open up my heart and learn how to love people. Now, you don't love people because you want to love them. You love them because God says to love them. Oh, you didn't get that. Did you hear what I just said? You're not excited at the word. Why are you so cold? Why are you cold? Is your neighbor quarreling with you? Ask your neighbor, are we quarreling? What's the answer? So get excited then. Get excited. Hallelujah. Yes. So let's look a little bit. 1 Peter chapter 3. I like the Passion's translation if you have it. 1 Peter chapter 3 from verse 9 to 11. 1 Peter chapter 3 from verse 9 to 11. I have a few minutes. I'm going to spend discussing two things. 1 Peter chapter 3 from verse 9 to 11. Okay, let's read it together. I want to go. Never retaliate when someone treats you wrongly. Can you read it again? Do you have, if those of us at the overflow, those of us online, wherever you are, please, I want you to have your Bible so that you can see it very well. I want you to see it very well. You see, if you don't want to cut your life short, and you don't want bitterness, unforgiveness, malice, everything to encumber your heart, so that it actually will cause physical sickness on your body. One of the things that bitterness does is that it will bring physical sickness. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Physical word, sickness on people's body. There are some diseases that are products of bitterness. When you give bitter vibes, your body begins to react against it because that's not the way it was designed to live. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So you must learn to rejoice. The Bible says rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Love people. Get excited. People will get you angry. Oh, that's normal. But you see, to take offense is something. Offense is like a letter given to you. You can choose to take it or reject it. Did you get that? It's like a letter. You can choose to take it and keep it and get serious about it. Or you just trash it and like, not interested. So look at what the Bible says. Can we read it together? I want to go. Never retaliate when someone treats you wrongly. Or insult those who insult you. But instead, respond by speaking a blessing over them, because a blessing is what God promised to give you. Hallelujah. For the scripture tells us, whoever wants to embrace true life and find beauty in each day. Listen, whoever wants to embrace what? True life. Whoever wants to embrace what? True life. And find beauty how? Each day of your life. You want every day of your life to be beautiful. You want every day of your life to be full of glorious experiences, the blessings and the power of God. The Bible says you must learn to walk in love. You must learn to walk in love. You just have to. You know, I like to emphasize it over and over because I know the power of love. Love will always win. Love will always win. Are you hearing what I'm saying, church? So you see, the Bible says each day of your life. Look at now. Let's read the next verse is what? Oh, you didn't read it loud. Let's do it together. Eagerly pursue peace in every relationship. Eagerly pursue peace in every relationship. You spoke to a girl, she said she will not marry you again. Still love her. It's not by force. Marriage is not by force. She may not like you today, and tomorrow she eventually likes you. Am I making sense? I know you like that one. Tomorrow is for relationship. Yeah. Praise God. So generally speaking, you see, marriages experience close heaven because of this. Many men struggle in their life because the heart of their wife is not with them. And you know, when a woman's heart is not with you, the Bible says, husbands, do not be bitter at your wife. Don't be bitter. Don't be bitter. If you start living in bitterness and you are bitter, you might not be saying anything directly to her, but you are just bitter. When she moves, you bitter. Oh, our body has changed. Who changed the body? It's you. It's you. So you're just unnecessarily bitter. You're just getting bitter about everything, you know. And the Bible says, lest your prayers be hindered. In other words, one of the things that constitutes hindrance to prayer in a marriage is bitterness. When you are bitter against your spouse, not only men to women, the same thing, vice versa. A woman should not be bitter against her husband also. You know, for women, it's difficult to be bitter except something has really gone wrong. When the man has overpassed his boundary and is still misbehaving. Can you imagine a man who's maybe misbehaved and has done something terrible and the wife is trying to show him and he's saying, am I the only man that has done it? Are you okay? You are not every man. You are the man in Christ. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You are the man in Christ. For whoever is in Christ is a new creation. All things are passed away. You say, in our tradition, what's your tradition? Yoruba tradition is not your tradition. Scripture is your tradition. Igbo is not your tradition. I told you before, I said over and over, we are not of this world. Our citizenship is where? In heaven. See, other men are doing it. You are not other men. You are the man that has been washed by the blood of Jesus. You are the man that God has put in place so that you can reach out to other men, change their lives, and let's have a generation of men who love and fear God. So when other men do it, you smile and say, not me. My assignment is to bring them out. So many women are hurt because their men do terrible things. And instead of apologizing and coming to the truth, they are still fighting. They are being braggadocious. If you are too egocentric, you will soon lose ego. I know you like that. See. May God help us in the name of Jesus. So God says that we must not live in bitterness, church. We must not. When we see ourselves, we should be excited. Be excited to see other human beings. Don't let the devil build a castle in your heart. Don't let the devil make your life a dumping site. The devil wants to dump bitterness. He sees your heart and puts it there. He wants to dump malice in your own heart. He wants to dump unforgiveness in your own heart. No. Know you not that your bodies are the temple of the living God. Can you hear what I'm saying, church? You guys need to know you are the temple. Can you say I'm the temple of the living God? Or shout it, disturb your neighbor. I'm the temple of the living God. The Spirit of God lives inside of me. Joy lives inside of me. Peace lives inside of me. Love lives inside of me. Righteousness lives inside of me. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You're a different person. Can you say I'm a different person?
very different. You're very different. See, you in the whole of all creation, there's none that has ever been like you. God never made anyone before like you. Neither will he make anyone after. You know why? Because there will be a day where every single person who came to the face of the earth from beginning to the end will be judged. We can't see two people there. It's only one. You cannot have two people. I said two of us came. I came in 1945. This one came here. We are two. We are together. No. The wicked will be judged in their wicked ways. The righteous will appear. And every single person with one mind, that mind has never existed all over the world. That same person, no, never. So you are new. Can you say I'm new?
I'm
special.
I'm unique.
And that's why I walk in love. When some people try to get you offended, tell them I refuse to be offended. I will never. You know why? I will not allow somebody in their foolishness bring me out of my place of reality. Love is reality. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's the place of priesthood. A priest cannot be offended. You know why? A priest is an intercessor. You're supposed to be interceding and pleading the cause of people to God. Now you are now fighting with the people you're supposed to be standing the gap for. Oh no, it's wrong. It's misappropriation. It's misunderstanding of your position and who you are.
I'm a priest.
Well, you didn't say it. I'm a priest.
Some
of the ladies are concerned. They're looking for something. You want to say you're a priestess or something. Whatever way, just, I'm a priest.
Says
you are a chosen generation. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. A peculiar people. Ah! Look at all the whole things God has said concerning you. Glorious things are spoken about us. Oh, city of God. It will be said concerning them that this one was born there. This one was born in Zion. That one was born in Zion. They were not born in Mercy Hospital. They were not born in the hospital around the street. They were born in Zion. Born of the incorruptible seed of the word of God that lives and abides forever. I can never be corrupted. I am born of an incorruptible seed. Don't allow what people do around this part of the world, you know, affect your life. No, make up your mind that you're going to live this higher life. Are you hearing what I'm saying, church? Make up your mind. I made up my mind already. Devil cannot use anybody to throw me off balance. I made up my mind already. No human being born of a woman will make me lose my crown. The Bible says, be careful lest you lose your crown. There's a crown. There are different crowns in the Bible. There are different crowns. There's a crown for peacemakers. Oh God, there's a crown for peacemakers. There's a crown for them. If you read the book of Revelation, you see different crowns that different people are going to put on. I want to put on the crown where God says, these were the ones on the face of the earth that reconciled men to God. They lived in peace and they did not spot their garments with all manner of bitterness and malice and unforgiveness. So if you're quarreling with anybody in church after service, go look for them. And be the first to say, I'm what? Say, but they offended me. No, forget who offended who. Just go back and the more mature person will apologize. Do you know that? If you're in a relationship, the person who is more mature does what? Apologize. You go and say, see, please, let's stop this nonsense. We shouldn't be behaving like children. Let's behave like mature people. And you know how the other person will feel? The other person will now feel foolish. No, you didn't intentionally put them in that position. Your maturity brought them there. He said, no, it's okay, I understand. I want to say my mind, okay, say your mind. After all, your mind, it's okay. Have you said your mind? It's okay. I'm sorry about everything about your mind and my mind. Our mind is in Christ. We are fine. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The last one before we go in tonight to worship. Are you ready to worship?
Yes, sir.
Yes. The last thing that I'm sharing in 20 of Glory 2022 that opens... Why are you guys excited anyway? I don't know. Yes. But the last thing I'm going to share tonight that will open the heavens over your life is to be a worshiper. Live a lifestyle of what? Worship. Somebody say worship. Can you say I was created to worship? I was designed to worship. I was made to worship. The purpose in God's heart was to position me here so that I will worship him. Look at your neighbor, say, that's my position. That's my purpose. That's my calling. It's my design. I have everything it takes to worship God in spirit and in truth. Worship opens the heavens over your life. Everywhere in the Bible, as soon as people start worshiping God, a lot of things begin to happen. The Bible says God inhabits. In other words, apart from the fact that he lives inside of us, we are carrying him inside. When we start worshiping, apart from the God living inside of us, he shows up on the outside and he's asking them, what would you have me do? Are you hearing what I'm saying? They locked up Peter and Paul in the prison, and while they were worshiping at night, the Bible says there was a great earthquake. The only thing that would have brought that earthquake was worship. Worship threw the heavens open and the angels just appeared everywhere. You remember the night where they locked these guys in prison and they found them preaching in the temple? You know what they did? Did I tell you what they did? Man is a what? Has a... and lives where? So that night, they locked them in the prison and they shot everywhere. The Bible says they came back and they saw that the prison was still locked, but these guys were outside preaching. I can tell you what they did. This is what they did. Very simple. As they started worshiping, and God inhabited their praise, spirit began to interact with spirit. Listen, as soon as spirit began to interact with spirit, they left their body. They took their body near the burglary proof. Eh? They now came out of their body. The body fell. They came out with their spirit. They picked their body. They wore it back and they went. Oh God, you don't understand. You don't understand. You don't understand. Listen, it is the spirit that gives life. It's as soon as the spirit left the body will die. So all you need to do is see the burglary proof. They went close to the burglary. So in that worship, they came out of their body. Getting outside the burglary, they saw the body. Paul said, one day Jesus told me, Peter, he said, I will put away this tent. So it's possible to put it away. Are we here together? So when they got there, they put away the tent. Came out on the other side of spirit. Stretch your hand towards that place and pick the body. Tell the body, oh yeah, enter. And they came out. The Bible says they saw that the prison was locked, but these guys were outside. They didn't break the keys. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They didn't have to break it. Worship. As soon as you start worshiping, you become like what you worship. Oh, listen, child of God, you become like those who worship Songo are like Songo. Look at the Baal worshippers. They are like Baal. They had all the time, all the day. They were shouting, Baal, 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 Baal. At the point, Elijah said, where has Baal gone to? Did he go to the supermarket? Maybe Baal went to Twix to Fajar or something. Baal needs to buy soap to have his bed. And they were still shouting, Baal, Baal, Baal. As they were shouting, Baal refused to answer. They started tearing themselves. The Bible says they started tearing themselves. Blood was coming out. And he said, hold on, hold on. It's not yet time. I will decide your judgments. Don't decide it by yourself. He said, you know what? Can you try and check Baal? Maybe Baal is preparing lunch or dinner or something. I guess Baal is hungry. He went to buy, oh my God, Baal went to buy Baal soap. Oh, you guys have rhymes, man. You see? So Baal was so useless, and Elijah just appeared and he told them, put enough water here. The God that answers by fire, let him be my God. And God showed up. Can I prophesy with somebody in the midst of your worship tonight? God is showing up for you. I say God is showing up for you. I say God is showing up for you in the name of Jesus. Psalm 67. Let me show you this. Psalm 67 from verse 1. Oh my, worship is powerful. Worship is powerful. As a worshiper, you are a waiter. And when a waiter stays, hungry people come to where waiter. You know, when a person is hungry, you go to a restaurant. And when you get to a restaurant, you meet a waiter. Am I making sense here? And as Christians, when we begin to worship, we are serving as what? Waiters. And a hungry person does not have option. They will ask, where's the menu list? That's what God is coming to do tonight. Sons and daughters, please give me your menu list. What kind of worship are you bringing? What kind of praise are you bringing? I want to get excited. Some of you are going to give God this. After the main worship, you still go home and give him some desserts to top up. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah, you need to give God 3-course meals. You give him the first one when he's done. You give him the main meal. By the time you're going back at night, you say, God, here I am to say that you are beautiful again. And God will just put his tongue and lick it. I love it. You see, some people don't understand when I'm talking all those things. You know why? I read it in the Bible. The Bible says God, after the sacrifice of Noah, he smells. If he has nose, then he can have a tongue. Yeah. You don't get that. He's not a monster like God. The Bible says he smells a sweet smelling savour. So if he sacrificed, look at the sacrifice of Gideon. The Bible says the Spirit of God came and licked it up. He has tongues. Oh my. How many of you have seen how a big lion or a dog is licking up their cob? They lick up. I feel like God is licking me up like that sometimes. They're just licking me up and say, boy, I'm licking you up for greatness. Can I prophesy to somebody? He's taking care of you. His love is breaking up upon you. He's showing you dimensions of his love. As you worship, you will see it in the name of Jesus. Please don't let Christianity be too hard and tough. It's beautiful. It's an experience. It's an experience where you encounter God and you enjoy Him in the beauty of His holiness. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Okay, let's look at this now. Psalm 67. He said to the chief musician, yes, on what? Negyonith, yes, a psalm or song. Be merciful unto us and bless us and cause His face to do what? Shine upon us. Go ahead. That thy way may be known upon the world, earth. Thy saving health among what? All nations. Let the people praise thee. Let the people do what? He now said, oh God, let all the people do what? Praise thee. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. Can you see it now? Let the nations be glad and sing for what? Joy. No bitterness. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Don't let any devil come to tell you, can you see that symptoms? I don't believe in the lying symptoms. Have you forgotten? Those who observe lying vanities, they will forsake their mercy. I'm not observing any lying vanity. I have my testimony already. My evidence is with me. My miracle is with me. It's breaking forth for the world to see. In the name of Jesus, I am worshiping God tonight in a special way. The whole of my heart will be poured out to Him. Tell your neighbor, pour your heart out. For thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon what? The earth. Verse 5. Let the people, can you see emphasis? Emphasis. He said, let the people praise thee. Oh God, let all the people praise thee. What will now happen? Then shall the earth yield her increase. And God, even our own God, bless us. When we praise Him, when we worship Him, the earth over you will now yield its increase. In other words, there are certain things that the earth over your life needs to yield. It has not yielded yet. When you start worshiping, the earth is compelled. Listen, you don't understand. The earth is compelled. It has no option but to bring that favor. It has no option. The elements of the earth, the sun, the moon, the stars, systems, structures, organization, people, they are part of the earth. And the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He will compel everything to bring His increase to your life. In the name of Jesus. Oh, let that amen sound like thunder now. Powerful. Whenever you praise and you worship, the heavens over your life open. The heavens over your life. You cannot be a true worshiper and live under a closed heaven. Never. You cannot be true and live. No. The Bible says God inhabits it. You know why many of the time the devil tries to rush you when you want to pray, and he tells you, there's no, just rah, rah, rah. You see, just spend that 5 or 10 minutes and just say, Father, I love you. From the bottom of my heart, I declare your praise. Pick a song. You don't need a good voice. Imagine my voice the way it is now. Eh? But you see, there is an angel. There are too many angels in heaven who supervise music. They know how to channel the voice of men to what God wants to hear. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? You don't need to struggle yourself. And say, if your voice is going, I praise you, Lord, just do it like that. In heaven, if you hear the way you are sounding, the angels are surprised at you. Can I tell you the truth? The angels, they are surprised at your voice. Oh, look at you. You don't even understand what I'm saying now. The angels, they are amazed. You know why? There is an orchestra in heaven. There is a massive choir in heaven. You see, this choir in heaven, they don't stop praising. Let me show you. Revelation chapter 4. That's what we're going to close tonight. Revelation chapter 4. Oh, God. See, I want you to do your worship and let it be a constant thing. Please, after 20 days of glory, it does not stop. It must be your lifestyle. Before you start praying every kind of prayer, start by raising your incense of what? Worship. Every time, at least minimum, pick one song. If you don't know how to sing it, plenty songs, pick one. You can sing it like 20 times. Don't get, see, these guys are not tired in heaven. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. You can imagine 4 mighty beasts announcing this thing and they are not tired of announcing it. Child of God, they started announcing it before time. And after time, I will enter eternity, they will still announce it. These guys are not tired. And you want to join that choir, you must rehearse well. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There's going to be a major mass choir. Oh God, I'm going to be singing my tenor there. Hey, the heavens will hear my tenor. I will roar with the voice of the angels. I will join the heavenly choir. I will sing praise to God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He has saved me. The Bible says He purchased them from every nation, tribe, and tongue. Every time I remember what God has done and how the whole of heaven will rise in a holy orchestra. and they will raise their voice. And the people, see, we will not need the drums. We will not need the keyboard, because there will be people who are keyboard themselves. Oh, you don't understand. You don't understand. When the Bible talks about Lucifer, it said Lucifer, all precious pipe organs, they were inside of Lucifer. You didn't, have you read it? He said, the temperance of your workmanship, they were made inside of you the day you were created. You will be shocked when you get to heaven and an angel will appear before you and say, my name is Gita. You say, what? You say, what you people have on earth, they are constructed things. God made those things as humans. You'll be shocked, an angel will appear before you and say, I am the piano. I am the grand piano of heaven. I'm telling you. You know why? Lucifer had all this embodiment. And that's why the Bible says pride came up in him. But heaven did not stop worshiping. Heaven did not stop praising. God now made a replica of that on earth. When he made it on earth, the first thing you see in the Bible, Genesis, he said he made a guy, the king of the musicians, Jubal. See, God cannot do without it. From beginning, he already positioned that music. And when we get back to heaven, we will not need to carry the drums. We will not carry the keyboard. If God puts me in heaven as a keyboard, I will gladly play for him all my life. I will play for him all my life. Imagine God just saying, Mavis, you are trumpet. So I become. I will just start trumpeting for the whole of eternity. Are you hearing what I'm saying, church? The things you see on the face of the earth, they are a shadow of the things you will see in heaven. I'm telling you the truth. All these things you see, they were made on earth. They were made on earth. Oh my God. When God, as you begin to grow in the things of God and you begin to pay attention to the things of the Spirit, God begins to give you a picture of a little by little of what heaven will look like. Just a snippet sometimes, you'll be shocked. There was a day I was worshiping and God began to show me some things and I began to see pillar of smoke, different colors of light. So when I came to church and I saw light, I said, human beings are copying too many things. These guys copy a lot. You see, they bring smoke machine here in the altar sometimes, and you see when the worshiper raises a song, let your worship rise, the smoke will just go psh. In heaven, no. His presence brings out the cloud. See, he's the pillar of fire, the pillar of cloud. When the cloud of his smoke comes in heaven, all the angels will bow. Even the priests could not minister. It happened in the Old Testament. It will happen again. The Bible says, as the musicians started worshiping, cloud filled everywhere. The priests could not minister. You will see it in heaven. You see it in heaven. Who would they be preaching to in heaven? Who will be announcing salvation? We don't need it again. We have been saved from all nation, tongue, and tribe. And all we will live to do is to worship the Lamb. Rise up on your feet. Let's read this thing together as we close. Revelation chapter 4. I want to hear your voice loud and clear, everyone. No. I love you, Lord. For your mercies never fail me. All my days I've been left in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. Oh, all my life you have been faithful. I worship you, faithful Father. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath, I'm
4. We're going to read it together. And then the first psalmist will come and lead us in worship this night. Revelation chapter 4. We're going to read from verse 1. And I just remember how Jesus has paid the price and purchased us with his blood. How useless our lives would have been without him. How wasted our lives would have been without him. Let's look at Revelation chapter 4. We're going to read from verse 1 to 11. Are you ready, church? I want us to read it together in concert. Everyone, let's read it together. One, two, go. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet. It was talking with me. I told you. When, as you begin to study, God begins to show you the pictures of the things in heaven. The first voice I heard, as it was the voice of a trumpet, he was talking with me. The human trumpets, somebody has to blow it to talk. No, this one is an embodiment of the trumpet. Can we go? Go ahead. Look at what the trumpet was saying now. Which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. In other words, the trumpet appeared and said, I am the trumpet of heaven. Come, let me show you things. Come, let me show you. There are things you have not seen. Come, let me show you. I want to go. Let's go now. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne, and he that sat was to look upon as jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow around about the throne, inside like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeds what? Lightnings. Wait, out of the throne. You know what a throne is? A throne is like a giant seat. You know what the throne of a king is? Out of that throne. It was not fixed for him before the throne. The light was not coming to hit the throne. The throne was carrying the light. For in the throne, light exists. Oh my God. And out of the throne proceeding light and thundering and voice. And there was 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. You know them now. The spirit of the fear of the Lord, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of counsel, the spirit of might. Powerful, powerful. I love this. Can we go ahead? Want to go? And before the throne was as a sea of glass, like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had the face of a man, and the fourth beast like flying eagle. Time will not permit to tell you all about the beast. Let's continue. And the 4 beasts which had how many wings? About them. And they were full of what? The wings were full of what? Just imagine the wings flapping. And you can see eyes opening and closing. When the things you will see in heaven, some people, they'll just pass out. I'm telling you, you just, maybe you pass out, they'll just call you and say, wake. Are you picturing something? A mighty angel with 6 wings, all around the wings, everywhere, eyes. Just imagine the wings flapping, white as snow, pumping with glory. Hey. And they were full of what? Eyes within. And they rest not, how often? Day and night, saying what? Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And then those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. The 24 elders will do what? Fall down. Then let's do this. Bow down and worship him. Bow down and worship him. Yeah, no. Worship.
Oh, worship. We bow down.
worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crown before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are, including me. For thy pleasure they are and were created. We'll take that song as I drop the mic.
Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory.
Song one more time, and after now, the next voice you are going to be hearing is the voice of one of the mistresses. Toby Michael is going to start up the session. Are you ready, church? Who is like unto thee? Let's go. Jesus tonight.